Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Point of View.
Discussing the world around you.
On the street.
On the air.
And at kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for staying with us. So British King Charles will be arriving in Canada. This is on Monday in Canada for a state visit. It is a big deal. He will be speaking from the throne, and we'll talk all about that with Professor McNamee, because we need to talk about how significant that move is. Professor McNamee, Terence McNamee, is a global affairs specialist who is actually on the line with us. A very good evening to you, and thank you so much for making time for us again.
Pleasure to be with you.
Prof, this is a big moment for Canada. This is, I suppose, I think the first time he's going to be speaking from the throne as a king.
Well, in terms of Canada, it's the first time that a reigning British monarch has opened Canada's parliament since 1957. So we have to go back about 70 years. And it is very significant, but it's significant because he has been invited to really deliver a message, however cryptically, however slyly. He's there really to affirm Canada's sovereignty and essentially put to bed this sort of 51st state annexation nonsense. I mean, I think that's probably the principal reason. And it's quite clever of the new prime minister to have invited him. So it's important for Canada, but it is important for King Charles too. It's the first really big engagement he's had as king. And of course, he, after his cancer diagnosis, you know, he hasn't done any traveling either. So it's very big for him, but he also has to walk a very, very delicate diplomatic tightrope, because remember, the Prime Minister of Britain has been using King Charles to get closer to Trump, whereas Prime Minister Mark Carney is really using King Charles to keep Trump further away. So it's a very delicate balancing act.
I like the, I'm sure maybe you're going to agree with this, that the convenience of the coincidence, because he had actually invited him last year. But this is happening right now, which I think is a big moment, especially after the visit to the White House by the Prime Minister.
Yeah, so I said he couldn't come last year. Mm-hmm. And King Charles is a, I mean, obviously he's the head of state of Canada, but he's also a big fan, a big supporter of Canada. I mean, as Prince of Wales, I think he visited Canada probably 20 times. And, you know, he's very fond of Canada, and he's also been, he understands the anger in Canada, not just at what Trump's annexation threats, but of course, the invitation to Donald Trump to return to the UK to have a state visit in Buckingham Palace, at the hosted by King Charles, has been taken very badly in Canada, because most Canadians naturally are going, well, why is King Charles inviting this guy to Buckingham Palace when you are the head of state of Canada and he's threatening to annex the country? That doesn't make much sense. Mm. So there's an element of sort of pushback against that. So as I said before, it's a really interesting, delicate diplomatic tightrope. And, you know, King Charles is very experienced, very wily. So he's obviously not going to write the speech. The speech is written for him by the Canadians. But he'll add a few flourishes of his own, I'm sure.
And he's going to walk that tightrope where he won't be too political, but there are things that I think we'll be looking forward to hearing from him. I mean, give us a sense of how tightrope that rope will be.
Okay, so just to be absolutely clear, like he is the head of state of Canada, but yeah, it's a purely ceremonial role. Mm. So usually that speech from the throne is given by his representative in Canada, which is the Governor General. Mm-hmm. And essentially that just lays out the government's agenda. It's a legislative agenda for the coming year. So ultimately, it's the government of Canada and Prime Minister Carney. You know, they're the last eyes on that speech. I mean, they write most of it and approve of it. However, there are some interesting messages that have to come across in that speech. And a lot of them do pertain to the United States. But clearly, he's also invited President Trump to Buckingham Palace. So it can't be so blunt. It can't be one in the eye for Trump. So he has to convey that message. And then there's some very important messages of his own that relate to the Commonwealth. You know, the Commonwealth has undergone lots and lots of strain. A lot of people post Queen Elizabeth II are questioning the efficacy of the monarchy. Is it fit for purpose in this modern world? So this is really a time for King Charles as well to shine. And he's also going to deliver some messages to Canada's Indigenous community, its First Nations. That's a very, very big issue for him. So it's an incredibly exciting moment because there's lots in this speech. It's only going to be about 20 or 25 minutes. But, you know, he's definitely going to have the global spotlight on him, and everyone's going to be watching what he says.
How are Canadians seeing this visit by the king?
So in general, and again, I'm generalizing as a Canadian, but most Canadians are indifferent to the monarchy. It's something that exists for us. We know it's part of our constitutional monarchy, but it is very ceremonial. If we stopped and thought about it for a while, we'd probably go, huh, this is a bit of a colonial relic. It's a bit anachronistic. Why do we still have it? Why don't we sort of nominate our own head of state, a president, to someone who is more representative of modern Canada? But it's quite difficult to get rid of the monarchy in the sense that it requires not just the federal government, but the agreement of all 10 Canadian provinces. And so similarly, I think with Australia and New Zealand, it's a thing that's there. It's sort of a part of our heritage. But we don't really think that much about it. Now, I should say there is one exception to that in Canada, and that is, of course, the French-speaking part of Canada and the province of Quebec. They have always had a different relationship, naturally, with the British monarchy. So views are more critical of the British monarchy in Quebec. I wouldn't say that they are outright hostile, but they're certainly among separatists. They were definitely pushing for the oath of allegiance not to include an oath of allegiance to the British crown. They want to get rid of that. So I think Canadians are fascinated by this, but it doesn't have the same resonance, of course, that it has for Brits in the UK.
Has that sentiment changed somewhat since Trump's utterances?
No, in terms of the relationship to the monarchy, no. As I said, Canadians were very, very put out by the invitation to Buckingham Palace. And of course, as you know, President Trump is the only president that is now going to have his second state visit to the UK. So Canadians were angry by that. But I think what's interesting is that you know, within Canada, there was a lot of personal fondness for Queen Elizabeth II, King Charles's mother. But there was an assumption that, you know, the continuance of the monarchy in Canada post Queen Elizabeth II, very much an open question, you know, because he didn't have the same, there wasn't the same fondness for what was then the Prince of Wales, now is King Charles. So I think this visit is interesting. You know, he has an opportunity here to set the tone, I think, for Canada's perception of the monarchy going forward. But again, it's sort of one of those things that exists in Canada. Mostly people don't really notice it until an occasion like this.
So we now know how Trump views Canada, especially, you know, reiterating those you never know until you know type thing after the Prime Minister made it clear Canada is not for sale. Is there an ease now that the Canadians have about Trump, or is there still cautious nervousness?
So I think after Prime Minister Carney's time in the hotspot, which of course we just watched President
Ramaphosa's,
he handled it very, very well. And again, I you know, this is another topic for conversation, but I wish that President Ramaphosa's team would have taken a few more of the lessons learned. But
you're not offline, Dr. Wilson. You're not offline completely. Yeah, you are very welcome to make those.
I mean, that being said, I think Prime Minister Carney
He was very good.
But yeah, but he brilliantly achieved the sort of less is more phenomenon. Mm. He didn't get sidetracked. Mm. I mean, essentially, it's a non-starter. It's a non-starter for Canadians. Let's move on. And I think to some extent, that was exactly the right strategy. And he sort of took the wind out of the sails of President Trump. Mm. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, with President Trump, you never say never. So, yeah. You know, if there is a tweet that eventually comes out or Truth Social that he repeats it. But it seems that the steam has gone out of that issue. But of course, the wider issue of the defense and security relationship and tariffs, that's still very much a live issue. But I think the kind of sting in that issue, and again, just to compare it to the South African issue, what's very, very different about that issue is that the 51st state annexation thing of President Trump was very much his baby. You know, he didn't really have any sort of support, even amongst his own team, for that. I mean, it was only really repeated. Whereas the sort of the Trump administration's attack on South Africa, of course, is less a bilateral issue than it is a domestic political issue in the United States, namely U.S. culture wars. So that's why the heat in that issue is unlikely to come out in terms of South Africa and the United States. But I think it's been diffused somewhat in terms of Trump and Canada, but never say never with him. But what we want to hear, I think, is that one particular word that I think people will look to hear for King Charles is if he uses the word never. So if he uses something to the effect of Canada will never lose its sovereignty, or Canada will never be anything other than it is, then watch for that use of that word in his speech.
No doubt that's what Canadians would like to hear.
Well, that's what Canadians would like to hear. And of course, it's really the decision of Prime Minister Carney and his team whether they want to include that. Again, I think, you know, King Charles does want to give, you know, a really strong, fulsome support to Canada, a really robust message. And he's been doing a lot of stuff. I mean, I don't know, you probably haven't been paying attention, but because it's really sort of subtle stuff. But King Charles has used every opportunity to wear his Canadian medals.
Badges, yes.
Oh, you have. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, yeah. You're more on top of things than Canadians, Mella. So yeah, there's been a lot of subtle. And this one will be a little bit more blunt, I think.
I mean, you mentioned that the last time, you know, you had a throne, a living throne come and stand on the throne and give that speech was 1977. Mm-hmm. It was 1950. You said 1950?
But yeah, so it was the last opening of Parliament by a British monarch was 1957.
Yes.
And then in terms of a throne speech was 1977. And just for your listeners, you know, it's hard to gauge sort of South African sort of history knowledge.
Yes.
But remember, up until 1961, this was exactly the same situation in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And the Queen Elizabeth's father, King George VI, he opened South Africa's parliament in 1947. So very similar dynamic until, of course, you know, South Africa became a republic and left the Commonwealth. But very, very similar up until 1961 here.
So if we go back to Trump and the prime minister again, obviously tying that loop is, what then would the Prime Minister be asking of King Charles? Because, as you said, we've got tariff issues, we've got security detail that we need to talk about, and Trump obviously is using that as bait. What then do you think, you know, Prime Minister Carney will be asking of the King, privately, of course?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a really good question in terms of privately. But remember... but remember that sort of, I mean, King Charles must remain steadfastly non-political, both in Canada, but also in the UK.
Mm.
You know, that's not his domain. And interestingly enough, one of the challenges of keeping what was formerly Prince of Wales in check is that this was someone who liked to comment on political issues. Mm. You know, he had very strong views about everything from, you know, architecture and what was happening in Britain to what was happening with the European Union and so forth. And so, you know, what is in King Charles's gift to actually talk about with President Donald Trump is very, very kind of circumscribed. But one aspect of this for Canada is what I mentioned earlier, is that he's likely to deliver the speech in as good a French as he can possibly muster, because this end, one of the things we'll be watching out for certainly is, you know, the strength of, let's call it, French society within a unified Canada, which I think will be a very, very important message, given that, of course, there's still about 30-35% who are in support of separatism in the province of Quebec.
If nothing else, there'll be lots of pomp and ceremony. It's obviously going to have us glued to our screens because generally, I mean, that monarch, we know how well they do pomp and ceremony. So we'll all be watching tomorrow.
Yeah, but but remember, there will be, yes, but there will not be as much pomp and ceremony as there would be in the UK.
Sure.
So, for instance, you know, King
not
Charles
walking in
is
the streets
likely,
kind of thing.
Even more than that. So, for instance, he's likely to only wear a suit in Canada's parliament. Because remember, it's one of those very subtle things, right? Because, you know, the pomp and ceremony, yes, but you can't push it too far. Because, you know, his role as a head of state in Canada, it's not that it's particularly contentious. But again, the pomp and ceremony is fit for purpose in the UK. But you have to tone that down. Yeah, so there'll be stuff outside and that. But I would not expect him to wear what he would wear, of course. He will not be wearing robes and that kind of stuff. I mean, he's likely to wear, I mean, I hate to be proven wrong, but he's likely to be wearing just a suit tomorrow.
Well, we'll be watching. I really appreciate your time, Dr. Terence McMinnie. Thank you so much for making time for us this evening.
Pleasure.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.